Everyone is a healer. 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 Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes.
This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you instant inspiration. So, everyone is a healer. Now, that's a great statement, isn't it? Everyone is a healer. What does it mean? Well, perhaps we could change the word. Everyone manifests whatever they think about. How about that? Everyone manifests whatever they think about. Everyone who uses the law of cause and effect brings into their life whatever they put the cause in motion for. Now, what have you put the cause in motion for? Have you put the cause in motion for illness or for health? Just as simple as that. But I think that's incorrect. Ellen was reading some letters that we had written many years ago, and in the letter I was saying her son is a genius, which she had told me, and then she said in a very surprised, amazed, delighted, confused voice, can you imagine all that in being one voice, Diego said he's a genius. Like, it's a surprise. It's amazing. It's wonderful, it's beautiful, but, you see, all of those things are the reason that our treatments do not work. We are surprised that they work. We are amazed that they work. We are confused that they work. But they do work. Now, why did Diego say he's a genius? Because he's a genius. Now, why was Ellen surprised to hear him say that he was a genius? Because Ellen thought she was the one who thought he was a genius. She didn't think that he thought he was a genius. But you see, if you are a practitioner, and everyone is, and someone comes to you with a healing need, you don't tell them you're whole and perfect. Remember that? Mm-hmm. You don't tell them you're whole and perfect. You say, I am whole and perfect to yourself. First, you heal yourself and your attitude about whatever it is you're talking about, whether it's for yourself or someone else. If someone else comes to you and says, I have this illness, and you haven't the quickness about you to stop them from saying anything further, I have this illness about me, and it's a cancer, and it has eaten up half of my pancreas and my liver, and I have to have replacements on these things, and they're cutting me out and cutting me up, and they're doing this and doing that. And you think to yourself, oh my God, what a big deal. Now, if someone comes to you and they say, I have cancer, you say, hush. We put the law of cause and effect in motion. It says, you are whole and perfect. Not that you don't have cancer, but you're whole and perfect. And when you're whole and perfect, that does not allow for cancer being in your system. But you're whole and perfect. Now, before I put the law of cause and effect in motion, I have to first clean my own consciousness. Now, if I have to clean my consciousness of your gallbladder and your liver and your pancreas and all these other things being eaten up by cancer, my goodness sakes, I've got a job to do, and I don't have time for that nonsense. So, I don't let you say it. I say, hush, I will treat for you. Now, I treat first for myself, quietly, in my own consciousness. I'm whole and perfect. My attitude about life is whole. I have not the ability to see anything other than my wholeness and perfection in myself and others. I'm whole and perfect. I see the world whole and perfect. So, this person comes up to me and they're having obvious problems that, you know, any illusion can be seen. And I do not look at it. I look at them and I say, you're whole and perfect. And they say, you're blind as a bat. Can't you see I got a problem? I don't see that. And if they say such a thing to me, I don't see that. I say, I am working with principle. And principle says that whatever I see in my consciousness, whatever I hear in my mind, think in my thought, that is what I experience. Well, now, for you, my friend, for you, I see you whole and perfect. Oh, I wish I saw myself that way. Don't listen to that. I see you whole and perfect. I see you wonderful. Now, for instance, if, I can't talk about Ingeborg, and I can't talk about Sylvia because they haven't got any kids. But I can talk about Ellen. So Ellen goes into her son's bedroom, and he says, "Mama, I don't feel very good." And Mama says, "Well, what seems to be the matter?" Asking the problem right away. So silly. But anyhow, she's trying to be, you know, sociable. What seems to be the problem? "I have a headache. Oh, I feel so bad." And Mama says, there, we'll get you an aspirin, and we'll call the doctor in the morning, you know, and we'll do this for you, and we'll do that for you." "Oh, thank you, Mama," you know. But you see, now what if Ellen were a pioneer? And you were out in the middle of nowhere, and the drugstore was many miles away, thousands perhaps. And your kids come down with something, you say to them, "Sweetheart, you're whole and perfect. Now you lay down, go to sleep, and wake up in the morning, you'll feel just fine. You'll just feel wonderful." And then she takes her hand and touches their forehead and says, "I love you. I love you. You're whole and perfect. I love you." And the kid wakes up in the morning, fantastic, jumps out of bed, says, "Well, I got things to do today." And his mother doesn't say, "Well, you were sick last night. Now you stay in bed. You just got to rest for a while." Hey, if the kid wants to get up and go, let him go. Say, "You're whole and perfect. Fantastic." And then he says, "Mom, why did you say I was whole and perfect just now?" "Well, because last night you weren't feeling so good." "Mom, I thought you said that that's past. We don't talk about the past. You told me that, Mom." "And, well, I'm just trying to be so..." "Well, Mom, be sociable in a nice way. Give me some more pancakes. You know? Be sociable in a nice way. Tell me, have a good day." I mean, what a wise kid, you know. But isn't that true? When you, as a practitioner or healer, ever ask your friend, "How are you now? You were sick last week when you came here. How are you doing now?" Shut up, you know. If anything, they'll have something new for you. But don't bring up the old, you know. Shut up. Don't say, "How are you?" When you go to see the doctor wants to know the symptoms so he can give you the medicine that'll fit the symptoms. Now, if you were laying there and you couldn't talk, and the doctor had to research you out himself, he'd have a chore, wouldn't he? And what do you think the doctor does most of the time? He listens to his heart as he looks at you, and he has a pretty good idea exactly what to do. Now, if the doctor would listen to their heart more often, instead of asking you what the problem is, he'd be in much better shape and much faster. But he's got to tell me all these little intricacies about my body and about my health and about this. No, he doesn't. The more the doctor knows, the more pills you're going to have, and the more pain you're going to have, and the longer you're going to have it. Because then you and the doctor have it together. And not that it's bad, and not that the doctor shouldn't know whatever he asks, but don't go out there and give last year's problems along with this year's problem. Unto, what is it, the evil, unto the day stands for itself or something like that. Let alone, it's bad enough you got a problem today. You don't need to bring in yesterday's. I think anyone who brings in yesterday's problems and goes to the doctor and say, "Well, last week I had the flu, and then the week before that I had pneumonia, and the week before that I had that," and the doctor says, "You've been having quite a time, haven't you?" "Well, now, pneumonia is over, the flu is over, all these things are over, you're back in fiddly shape, and today you got a broken leg. Doctor, I had this and I had that." Hey, that has nothing to do with your broken leg, I assure you. Or maybe it does. Maybe you're just a worrywart. Maybe you just want to keep having problems. Well, everyone is a healer. When we have healing thoughts about ourselves, we have healing experiences in our body. Now, you don't know all the nonsense that's going on inside of you. You have more problems going on inside of you than you can shake a stick at. You are fat. You know, you do. You have bacteria. You have viruses. You have so much junk going on inside of you that if you knew about it, if you look at a glass of water with a magnifying glass or a microscope, you know, it looks terrible. My gosh, I drink that stuff. And you see, but you don't know that. And that's going on inside of you too. And a lot of it's necessary. Mm-hmm. It's necessary for the bacteria to help you break up the food into ways that you can eat, you can absorb it into your body and have it be beneficial. Oh, I don't want bacteria in my body. You sure do. You sure do. You want a lot of things in your body that if you had a choice, you wouldn't take. But they do a job. They do a job. So you just say, I'm whole and perfect. Every bacteria in me that's supposed to be there is doing the right job. And every bacteria in me that's not supposed to be there, flush it right out. It's gone. But I accept all the good that I am. I'm whole and perfect right now. Everything is working in divine order. Can you, in your intelligence, tell your liver how to work? You don't even know what it does. Can you tell your gallbladder, your spleen, your spine? Can you tell your heart, your lungs, your eyes, your ears, your nose? Can you tell any of that stuff how to work? But you try. You go around with a stupid remark, I can't see, when your eyes are not focusing right. Just say, I'm using glasses because it improves my eyesight. But don't go saying, I can't see, because it's not the truth. You can't see well, perhaps, but you can see. You are not blind. You are not completely without sight. You just see a little fuzzy sometimes without your glasses. But don't go around saying, I feel tired. Don't go around saying, I feel like cashing in my chips. I've had enough of this stupid planet, this stupid life. Everything is bad and very bad. And then you want to die. How stupid. Everyone's a healer. You're creating your world exactly the way you like it, exactly the things that you think are important for yourself. And is that what you want to do? Do you want to die?
No.
Why not? Hey, if you died, you got it over with. You don't have to fool around with all this stuff. Hey, there's too much exciting stuff going on in this world, and I want to be aware of it and be part of it. I want to be a part of every sunset. As the sun drops down and goes swizzle, swizzle, swizzle into the ocean, you know? And as the sun pops up through the morning mist and makes all Jack Frost work go shrip, 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 it all melts. I love it when I can walk in the night and the moon is so bright. You see your path just like it's daytime. I love it when the weather outside is so warm you can run around naked. I just love it when you can be enjoying all of Mother Nature in its very finest. I love it when I can be working in my garden. I love it when I take the time to put lamps along my path, you know. I just love it when I can sit at my computer and my ideas flow out of my head through my fingers, rip, down into the computer and out on the printed page. I just love it. And they look good. Oh, they are so beautiful. Where did that all come from? It came from the divine in me. It came from the channel that I am to the oneness that I am. And that channel is not really a good word because it sort of says it's separate from me. But I came out of that inner self of me that I don't always let go. Because I was reading about Grisham, you know, Mr. Grisham. He's quite a writer. Prolific is called Get Out. I read his first book. And he was a lawyer. And he decided not to be a lawyer anymore. He had to. He was too busy writing books. And so he wrote this book, and it was quite successful. And then he sat down and wrote another one. Then he sat down and wrote another one. Then people started giving him ideas for books. And, you know, areas that could be covered by a book and get a message across to improve the legal profession, to improve the profession of the judgeships, to improve the police departments and the courts, not to improve themselves, but to talk about the failing that they had. And Zoom, he's writing. And he has now a staff of maybe 200 or 300 people who gather together the facts and information for him and are reliable people. And then he writes his stories from these facts and from his understanding of human nature. And he's just pouring it out. I'm sure he's quite wealthy. I'm sure he's doing very well. I'm sure his family are not very happy with him, though. He is dedicated to his writing. He is dedicated to the drama of his thought and the magic of his ability to put it down. And if he's still married, bless his heart. If his children still own him, rather than disown him, bless his heart. But you see, oftentimes we get so wound up in our dreams, in our magical world, that our family doesn't get any of our attention. Our family doesn't get any of our love. You take a man, back to Billy Graham we go, you take a man like Billy Graham. He gives Sunday talks, he gives lectures. But Billy Graham knows the Bible back and front, you know? He knows his philosophy, he knows his thing. He doesn't have to study to do these things. He takes a topic and then he starts speaking on that topic. And the words come to him because he has prepared himself over a lifelong belief in the philosophy that he has. And so, when it's time to give a talk, he has a note or two to tell him what the topic is, and then he goes. If it's time for writing a story or doing a book, he has his staff gather together and put it out. And I would say that in a week's time, he works maybe about 10 hours a week. And the rest of the time, he spends with his family. He spends with whatever things he likes. I'm sure he has some activities that please him. I don't know whether it's surfing or whether it's sailing or golf or tennis or mountain climbing or whatever. But I'm sure he has some side activity that he loves. But you see, when you are good, when you're a professional, you do not have to spend 100% of your time on your profession. You live it, of course, but you live a full life, whatever a full life to you may be. And a full life may be working in your garden. Mm-hmm. A full life may be overseeing your many corporations, you know, not detail, but just overseeing them. And I'm sure that Billy Graham has many corporations because he has investments in many areas because he's not a poor man. And he has earned every penny that he's gotten, even if it is a large amount, because he's a responsible man. But now, think about it. When you are like that, you're not going to get your nose into the nitty-gritty operation of a thing. You're going to hire people to do that. And you're going to involve yourself in those things that are pleasing to you. So when you realize that you're a healer, you will heal yourself of all these thoughts that you are indispensable, you are indisposable, you are something that has to be everywhere at all times. And just be wherever you want to be and do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. And if you put on a radio show and you are going to give a bunch of radio talks, don't go down to the studio. Just put them on your little Olympus recorder and put it onto the internet and then let it be popped down to the studio, and it'll be as clear and crystal and beautiful as you could want it to be. And if you want your person to be there also, then do a video of yourself while you're giving the talk with whatever background you want, and send that through the internet down to the studio, and they will put it on, and you do not have to be in all these places. You see, traveling to these places and from these places is a pain in the neck. That takes time. And it's not a matter of whether you're there or whether you're not there. They say live broadcasters, so that's a big deal. I would say 99% of the broadcasts, radio, television, or what have you, are taped, you know, are prepared. They have to be. Because this way you can edit it, you can shorten it a little bit, you can bring it into place, you can do all the little goodies with your staff to do it perfectly, and everything is perfect. Because you're the healer. You've healed yourself of having to be everywhere doing everything. You're now living as a divine being. Just imagine, and I don't think you can imagine this because I can't, and so I'm not nice to you, but just imagine, if you could, if God had to be aware of everything that was going on in this universe at one moment. If God had to know what's going on in every city in the United States or in the world, and with every person and every bird, you know, every sparrow, if God had to know all these things, but, this is only one globe. What about the universe? What about on every other star which may have an Earth situation? Or what about all the billions and billions of lifetimes that are passing through billions? What a magnificent consciousness to encompass all that, you know? And that's you. That's me. And we don't give ourselves credit for it. We say, yeah, the big God up there in cloud nine. But that's us. That's us. I know it sounds sacrilegious to say that, but it sounds more sacrilegious to say there's any place that God is not.
That's right.
And really, we should take responsibility for this awareness of who we are. And if you ever think, you wonder what's going on Mars, say it. You're right, you know. If you ever wonder what's going on in some other galaxy, say it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That limits you from being allness, but it's fun to be an isness once in a while too. You see? But if you think, what's your mom and pop doing? And they're passed on, and you know it. But they are not who they were. They are now somebody else. They are now living in their consciousness in another form, in another way. Do you think they kept the same name, the family name, to keep the tree going? Who knows? They may be living in consciousness of just brains, you know. Who knows? Whatever your mind can conceive of. Why not? Just have fun. But everyone is a healer, and it's up to us to recognize this healing, to heal our minds of limitation, to heal our minds of thoughts of illness, to heal our minds of relationships that are not too harmonious, to heal our minds of love that is unconditional for everybody in the universe. I have a lot of women who like me very much, and I'm honored by their liking me. That means I'm a nice guy. And they want to marry me, too. And they do me great honor by asking me to marry them and stuff. And I tell them, hey, I'd be a hell of a husband because I have a dedication to my work, to my life, to my program, and I haven't time to spend with anybody else. Like, I go to bed after I leave here, you know, and I get up in the morning, I take my walk. I mean, I would never be any place that my family would want me to be. I couldn't raise children anymore. They demand attention. So I'm worthwhile. I believe in myself. I'm number one. And that's what I am. And you are too. But you don't believe it yet. You still think that you have to do this and you have to do that. But the moment that you create yourself doing all the things that is a delight to do, you have healed yourself of being possessed by your universe, by your world. It doesn't mean you don't do the things. It just means you have the right attitude about everything that you do, so that it's a joy, a harmony, a life that is marvelous for you. Everyone is a healer. And I believe it. Do you believe it too?
Yes.
I think you do. So, remember, I love you. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you.